Good morning, and thank you for joining us today for the morning show right here at 88.5 KRFY. It is Wednesday, August 1st, and first Wednesday in August 2018. Good morning. I'm Susie Prez. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie. Chris Bessler over here, your co-host. Happy August.
Happy August to you, too. Yeah. Lots coming up. August seems to be already full.
It's just totally packed. And starting with this week, the festival kicks off. And
here we go.
Just actually tomorrow. Yeah.
That's
with
right.
Big Head Todd. And, of course, 8 main stage concerts over the next 2 weeks.
We'll talk a little bit about that. I did pull up an Amos Lee song and a Big Head Todd song, so we can play some of those. But let's introduce our guests. First, I want to introduce our guest co-host this morning, high school student, senior this year, Ryan Baumgartner. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Susie. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to learn a little more about the radio industry and practice here at the mic.
Yeah.
And you're planning to have your very own show this fall. Tell us just a bit about what that might look like.
Right. Primarily, it's an outreach program with the high school. I really want to help the community learn about different programs that the high school puts on and different clubs. We fundraise for so much, and this community has been really great with supporting us. But I find that sometimes a lot of people who either don't have a high school student just don't know about some of these things. So it's going to be really helpful to get the word out on some of those things and also play some music for some of my friends that they really enjoy. It's supposed to suit everyone.
And I hear that today is the day you're going to figure out what the name of your show will be.
My goodness, isn't that hard? You sit here and think about that for a while.
That could be like a sweepstakes or something.
I know.
Yeah. My goodness, I've been thinking about it for a long time, so looking for the help.
Okay. You will come with
that. There will be a big reveal, yes.
And our true guest is...
Mandy Evans from the Panhandle Animal Shelter, Executive Director. Mandy, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, we got a ton of stuff to talk about with the animal shelter, as always.
Right, cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Well, and all kinds of great programs I can't wait to hear, because there's always something new, and what you're doing over there is amazing. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the weather. Well, I think we're going to have a little bit of a cooling trend down to a high of 91 today. From whatever it was. I think 96 yesterday was our high. Currently, we're at 59 degrees, which seems, well, that was at 7 o'clock, so that's pretty close. 59 degrees, and again, hazy with a high of 91. Tonight, a low of 53, clear. And tomorrow, clear, sunny, high of 86. So, you know, here we go into the festival season. Some of our highs next during the weekend are 75 and 77, which sounds good, actually.
Yeah.
You know, bring a sweater to the festival, right?
Yeah. The festival gets pretty warm in the late afternoon, right when the gates are open. So that'll be kind of welcome temperatures right there. Some other things going on outside. The lake level is holding steady at its summer pool, 2062.2 feet right now. Sunrise this morning was at 5:20 a.m. It'll set tonight at 8:24 p.m. And we're in the last quarter moon coming up on Saturday, and the moonrise last night with the haze and smoke in the air was red and kind of glorious. It came up pretty late, though. And if you haven't checked it out, I'm an advocate for Mars, because Mars is so bright up in the sky right now. Ryan, have you checked out Mars at all?
Not a lot. I know we're talking about going to visit Mars. That I might want to check out.
But. Well, hey, you actually, when you look up and see it, it's coming up kind of late in the kind of southeast horizon. It's unmistakably a planet. You see that and say, that's not a star. That's bigger than a star. And that's because Mars is in opposition right now to us. It's getting a full shot of sunlight. And it's also the closest it'll be in 15 years. So those two things are making it really bright. And of course, we're having fires in the area right now. There are 8 large fires in the state of Idaho. There's fires in eastern Washington. Of course, Northern California has got some really big fires that have been deadly for people. So if you're out and about in the woods, please be very careful with no exposed flame at all, actually.
Sounds good.
And things going on around town. We mentioned the festival at Sandpoint.
I have one thing. If you really want to get it together really fast here this morning, out at Round Lake State Park, there is a master naturalist will be leading a hike. And that starts at 9:30 this morning. So listen to the morning show and get in your car and get out there and have a hike. The topic varies depending on the interest of the participants, but the master naturalists will take you on that hike today at 9:30, Round Lake State Park.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned, the festival kicks off Thursday with Big Head Todd and the Monsters, and then Friday it's Amos Lee. Saturday it's ZZ Top, and that concert is sold out.
I have seen tickets on Facebook for sale. They're very...
Are they scalping them?
Well, not really, I think, but they're expensive tickets to begin with. So if you want to go, check out Facebook if you didn't get your ticket early.
It's actually, Sandpoint Online, Free Classified, has got a few tickets.
And I think it's Facebook because it's through those other sites, Yard Sale.
Sandpoint Yard Sale, yeah. And then Saturday, of course, is the... Sunday is the family concert. Which is really cool if you have a little kid. It's a ton of fun. Mandy, you've been there, haven't you?
Yeah, and we're the presenters, the educational presenters this year, and we'll have a booth. And the booth is focused on educating children on what happens to dogs when they're left in the car. And then our presentation is a quick presentation that demonstrates the impact of not spaying and neutering and why shelters are full. And then also we have our ambassador dog coming to do some dog tricks.
Oh, really? Rosie.
Yep. Rosie.
Rosie, the ambassador dog.
Whose dog is Rosie?
Lindsay. And I can't remember her last name, but she was awarded the title of ambassador dog last year and continues to remain.
She's still the reigning ambassador dog. We need to maybe change that up next year with a new ambassador dog contest.
I know.
It was a big deal doing all that.
It was really a ton of fun, actually. Yeah.
I think we're ready for a new ambassador dog, but we'll see Rosie.
Rosie's the queen right now.
Yes, right. She is.
I'm going to stick with her.
All right.
Got to mention just a couple other things coming up this weekend. We are coming in like the biggest two weekends of the summer. On Saturday, it's the Longbridge Swim, and you can sign up for that until Friday. You could go to the high school and sign up for that if you haven't already. It's 1.76 miles. And you should probably be in a little bit of good shape to do that swim. And also, the Aftival concerts are happening. They happen after the festival on Friday and Saturday with Anders Osborne on Friday and Sam Bush on Saturday. And then up at Schweitzer, there's the Huckleberry Color Fun Run on Sunday. That's another family thing. So a ton of things going on. Next week, it's more festival, and there's also the Bonner County Fair.
Oh, that's right.
And the Arts and Crafts Fair.
The Arts and Crafts Fair is downtown this year.
Yeah.
On the corner of Main and 2nd, which I think is a kind of cool idea. Bring it right down to where all the people are hanging out.
We'll see how it goes. There's a little bit of fear and trepidation that's changing up that venue after all those years, but it could be a good thing. We'll see.
Do we know what the reason was?
I think just to keep the park open more for just general use. And I think part of the idea is that by bringing the Arts and Crafts Fair into the downtown, it'll circulate more people around among the businesses as well. And we do have a really nice downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Although we'll see it's how kind it goes. Of torn up and under construction.
Yeah, we're all tired of that, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, that won't last forever. There's a lot going on. We can go to krfy.org and find out more on our events given to us by Sandpoint Online.
Sandpoint Online, yeah. The event calendars. There's a ton going on. All the details and times and places and even the costs for everything are on the calendars there. And with that, let's talk about dogs and cats. Again, we have Mandy Evans, Executive Director of the Panhandle Animal Shelter here. Mandy and... We're just going to turn the microphone over to you because you always have so much going on. You can rattle off kind of some of the big things that are happening with the shelter.
Yeah, I mean, there are big things. I can tackle one main topic right now that seems to be brought up a lot in our shelter. People have been coming in and they'll say, "Where are all the animals?" And then literally saying, "Where are you hiding them?" We're not hiding them. Actually, they're in homes.
Conspiracy.
Yes.
I sniff a conspiracy.
There you go. Yeah. So this year has been a remarkable year. I mean, just on for cats alone, the flow in our building is way different than ever before. Back in 2015, we changed to have a managed intake, which means that if we don't have room in the shelter, we would deny intake for cats, not dogs. Now, the reason, and that really upsets people, but by bringing in more cats, we end up having more disease. And then cats don't move. There's a lot of health issues. And we actually end up helping less cats because we're basically the system is clogged with ill cats. So we started the managed intake and putting people on a wait list, and other programs because of that were spurred, like the helpline. Well, now this year, compared to 2011, our daily count population is 50% less than it was then, but we're helping 93% more cats than we ever did before. So it's working, and we've only had to have a wait list a few times throughout the season, which is unheard of in where we're at. Like, I've just never thought it would happen this soon. So the secret to the shelter, I'm giving everybody the heads up, that if you're looking for a dog or a cat and you want to be in the in crowd, Thursdays, we open at noon, but all the animals are altered on Wednesday, which means that they all go out on the floor for adoption on Thursday at noon. So we literally now have lines outside the door, people waiting to get their pets. It's pretty cool.
People show up before the doors even open.
And, Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So we've taken pictures. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
One of the things the shelter was known for, probably prior to this change, which sounds amazing and really smart, was the cat rooms would be full of cats, and you could go in there and hang out with cats. So that only really happens on Thursdays.
Well, you can still, but let's say there might only be, well, we have the rule right now is only 7 adult cats per room. And only 1 litter per room. So that's why we have a lot of cages that'll be in the lobby area. And that's to help just with preventing illness. In the past, we would house 20 to 25 cats in that room. And so there's a joke that when we look back on the past, and that we used to, one of the volunteer jobs was cleaning the boogers off of the windows in the cat rooms because everybody had upper respiratory. So when we had a shelter veterinarian from the University of Wisconsin spend a year coaching us and really changing a lot of what we do. And let me tell you that those changes were really, really scary. How do you tell somebody that needs you and they really need to get their cat in that you can't take their cat in? It's a very uncomfortable and sad situation that we had to work through in order to get to where we are now.
And disease, it was prevalent because of the amount, the density of population.
Yeah, cats are very sensitive. So just having the amount of stress, and now there's you know, secrets to it all. Like, you have to have enough litter boxes per certain amount of cats, and the food and the water dishes have to be away from each other. All of these things that really you have to have a relationship with the people that know the best in order to figure it out. And now we do, and our disease in the shelter is very, very low. So we're moving them out quicker.
So how social are cats with each other? Do they like to be together?
It depends on the cat, really. Just like us, I guess. Some cats will spend their entire day hiding in the little couches we have in there, and they don't want to be around anybody. Mm-hmm. It just depends.
We have a cat, and he likes to hang. He's the king of the house, kind of, basically. But he's a funny dude. He will let you pet him, but he's not the kind of cat that wants to hang out on your lap. So
he's independent, huh?
An independent cuss, yeah.
I noticed we've been talking a lot about cats, but did you change the program at all for dogs?
So the dogs, we actually hold 3 municipal contracts for dogs. We're the main intake facility for Bonner County, the city of Sandpoint, and the city of Ponderay. So, by contract, we take in every dog. But when I first started in 2011, we had 100 dogs there every single day. And about 50% of them really weren't moving. They were kind of living there. Where now we average about 30 dogs a day, and we have helped the length of stay used to be, I think, over a month for a dog, and now it's like 10 days. So we're moving the dogs out a lot faster. We've just streamlined things where we're not, and the argument is, well, are you moving them out faster? Are you not being careful? Like, well, how are you doing that? But by listening to people and understanding that they know what they want and us not determining what we think they want, we have been able to move them out into homes faster. But also the adoption return rate, so people would adopt and potentially return their dog to us or cat, was over 10%, and now it's 5%. Wow. So we're retaining the home a lot longer as well.
And I know you said you had contracts with Sandpoint and Pondere, and I know you're a nonprofit as well. Does that help you with funding for being able to hold more animals and things like that?
Yeah, the contracts they're based on the prior year's intake on stray dogs mm-hmm. in that area. So it just offsets the fees on intake.
So you have this new way of having population at the shelter. How are you doing that? What programs have you put together that, because there's still just as many animals that need sheltering?
Yeah, when I learned this year that we hadn't really been utilizing our wait list, that was my first thing was, oh my gosh, I'm going to pull our numbers and see if we're helping less cats. Because if we're helping less cats, then maybe all of our efforts in spaying and neutering are working. We altered 1,300 cats last year. So actually, that's just August to current. So we are a lot of effort going into that direction. But what happened is we're not. We actually have more cats we're helping, which is good because we're getting them fixed. But we did initiate two programs, really looking at our job as not so much as sheltering, that in order to help an animal, it has to be within the four walls of our facility. So we started two programs that really are community-based and help community members keep their pets. One of those is the helpline. So we'll have over 1,000 people a year will contact the helpline. And, you know, it's answering questions like, my cat is peeing on my bed all of a sudden. Why is that? Or I have a dog and he's tearing up my house when I'm away. And so we can give advice to see if we can curb those behaviors. And then we offer things like free training for dogs that are going to end up in the shelter if we don't curb that behavior. And then medical, sometimes people, it's sad when I look back, but this is the way we used to operate, is that if you had a dog and it needed, let's say, a cruciate surgery, we would say, no problem, if you can give us your dog and we'll fix this leg. And then we'll find your dog a new home. Well, now we're like, why on earth would we do that? Like, it had a good home. And a lot of shelters still operate in this mindset. Or the other one is, your stray dog came in. Well, that's $45, and I'm not going to give you your dog back unless you can pay it. So, well, why are we doing that? We're literally keeping ourselves in business by putting these really ridiculous ideas that because people need help, it makes them not worthy of having their animal. So a lot of those changes have made a huge impact on us, and also bridging the gap between what we offer and the community that needs it. Because before, why would you reach out for help if we were going to take your, if we'll offer to help, but we'll take your pet from you, or we'll shame you for it. So a lot of effort's been put into that, just working with the community, helping them figure out what solutions there are. And sometimes the best solution is intake into the shelter. And then the other program was the home-to-home program, so that owners who have the time and energy and desire to rehome their pet have the ability to post a profile on our home-to-home page, and then the shelter promotes that animal on our Facebook page.
So by using these low-income assist programs and being able to give those dogs back, have you been able to actually help more animals by bringing other animals into the shelter and giving these animals who already have a great home back to those owners?
Yes. So our capacity of, like, intake, we used to intake around 1,200 animals a year. Now we are about 1,900. And then our services with home-to-home, the helpline, we have a food bank, all of our low-income spay and neuter programs, feral cat programs. We help over 5,000 animals a year now.
How is it going with, I know that in the past there have been problems getting homes for dogs that are of a pit bull breed. Mm-hmm. Is that still a problem?
We initiated a different program, and this was in like 13, I think, where we no longer breed label. So really, your vets, your shelter workers, your trainers, anyone involved with animals can make their best guess on what they think that your dog or that dog is. And by us labeling without knowing that that dog's a pit bull, it literally automatically will extend its stay in the shelter. We are frequently accused of having only pit bull type dogs. But people look at any dog that has a boxy head or a certain look as a pit bull. They tend to stay longer than other dogs. But we get them into humps.
So by labeling a dog that may be considered a pit bull more like a mixed breed, does that help take away some of the stigma around having a dog that some people think is really dangerous but may just be the way they're handling it?
Yeah. So as a story, if we, let's say we labeled the dog and we said it was a lab, so then that, and we labeled it lab, right? And then they go to their vet, and their vet's like, this is the cutest pit bull I've ever seen. And then that person comes back angry that we tricked them into adopting a pit bull. So what we do now, and you're right, that's what it is all about, is we don't label any dog. So they are unknown. So even if it's this beautiful golden retriever, we'll still stay unknown. And then when people are interested, we can pull the file. If they have actual records to say what kind of dog it is, we'll tell them. Otherwise, we say, your guess is as good as ours. But we will do contests on Facebook right now if you can guess the breed. And it is very rare that anyone ever actually guesses it. We had a dog that was a lab, and it was returned to us because the landlord said it was a pit bull. And I'm like, what? This is not a pit bull. Then everybody on Facebook is saying, that's the cutest pit bull I've ever seen. So I said, all right, we're paying the money. We're doing a DNA test. And there was maybe, I think, like 8% pit bull in that dog. Everything was a lab and something else. So really putting the effort into educating the community that we really don't know what these dogs are.
And really the only way to know a breed is by a DNA test.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because looks can be deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's that element when you walk in and you're with your family or whoever, and you're going to get a dog. Really, there's a relationship that you might feel pretty quickly with, or an affinity with a certain dog. It doesn't matter what breed they are.
Right.
That might be your dog.
Right.
And that's a whole different thing.
Do pit bulls get a bad rap? I mean, is it really in your experience, are they really a more aggressive breed?
I have to say that I don't believe so. I've seen some that are the nicest, sweetest. Like, we have one that is behind the front desk, my volunteer coordinator's dog, and it's just the lovey, like, just wants to love on you. A lot of the, like, shepherds and herding dogs have some significant issues.
No so, kidding. They're nippers.
They are.
Yeah, because they're always chasing the sheep around, and they're
yeah. They're trying. They're very bossy. Yeah. Really, is what it is. So, and then I just stress to people that animals in our shelter, we really don't know them, so we have to make some assumptions and do the best we can to get to know them. But it really. We don't know them. It's people, anybody adopting has to kind of get to know that animal themselves and see what they think.
And a lot of it really comes from the environment that the animal's brought up in.
Yes.
Some, there are bad owners out there that encourage their dogs to be aggressive.
Yeah.
So if you just tuned in, this is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie and our guest co-host Ryan. We're here with Mandy Evans from the Animal Shelter, Panhandle Animal Shelter. She's the executive director. But this is 88.5 KRFY, just so you know. And if you can't listen to all of this but want to hear it later on, you can go to our website, krfy.org, and it will be a podcast. And also, you can stream at the exact same place, krfy.org. Mm-hmm. Let me know when you want to hear a song, folks.
We'll take a song break in just a minute here. So tell us a little bit more about the helpline. I have an animal and a pet, and you're like, any kind of problem with a pet, you can call the animal shelter and say, hey, how do I get my dog to quit peeing inside?
Yeah, we'll do our best. I mean, we're not the be all and end all. And sometimes people will call and they are seeking veterinary advice, and that's really not what we want to be providing. So we'll refer them or encourage them to call their veterinarian. But there are people who it also, a little caveat, that sometimes people call with medical issues that are more cosmetic and not, you know, like lifestyle threatening. And so we do have to tell people, no, that we only have a certain amount of funds that we can provide. But we do our best to really help people, to honor that the relationship between a person and their pet is very meaningful, and support them in any way we can.
How is this helpline staffed? Are these volunteers donating their time to answer the phone?
I have a part-time helpline manager. So mm-hmm. she fields all the calls. Wow. She's also our home-to-home person as well.
Very busy.
Kind of like a Dear Abby for dogs, maybe.
Yes. Yes.
Move that into the newspaper, too.
You go ahead and give us a phone number in case somebody does want to call the helpline.
Oh, my gosh, Chris, I don't know that.
You don't know that?
Okay, I'll come back to that. Okay. Thank you, though.
Well, then maybe it is a good time to take a quick musical break. We have a number of other things to talk about with Mandy, though.
Okay, I have the helpline number. Okay. I'm that quick. Okay. All right, it's 208-217-4453.
And it's the Panhandle Animal Shelter helpline. If you have a pet that you... or trying to deal with a behavior, or got a question.
And is that a 24/7 hotline?
You can leave a message.
Yeah. And she could probably, if it was an emergency, if there's an emergency, call your vet, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. An emergency. I don't know what to do. My pet won't stop barking.
Yeah. Right,
that'd be the next door neighbor with the emergency.
That's my cat won't stop purring. I want to talk a little bit more about the home-to-home program, because I think that's innovative, and I wanted to know if it's gone national as a project expansion. But let's hear a song. Sounds good to me. Big Head Todd and the Monsters, Turn the Light Out. How's that? And they will be the first act at the festival this
playing tomorrow
coming up Thursday night. So here they are.
I have tickets. I'm going.
You're going. Yeah. Okay, Chris will be there. And that was Big Head Todd and the Monsters, Turn the Light Out. And they will be the featured artists at the festival at Sandpoint tomorrow night, Thursday night. And we're here at the KRFY studios at 88.5. This is the morning show with Chris and Susie and our guest, Mandy Evans, executive director at the Panhandle Animal Shelter. And we're talking about cats and dogs and what an amazing animal shelter we have. Thank you, Mandy, for really, it's a showcase place. And I think some of the programs are actually model programs for other shelters around the country. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, this year especially, we've been invited more this year than before to come and talk at the national conference, the largest humane education conference in the world. I was presenting there on just everything we've talked about today with cats and how to have managed intake and disease protocols and all of that. So it's been kind of fun to go from really being somebody who didn't know anything about sheltering and seeking advice from people that knew what they were doing to being one of those people that people will call on and ask for help.
In one of those programs, it's a kind of a pilot for the whole country, is Home to Home. You talked about that a little bit earlier. And the idea there is that if you had a pet that you can no longer keep for some reason, in the past, you would just take it to the shelter. And that's very stressful for the pet and also for the owner, actually. Yes. Sad thing for the owner often. And the idea with Home to Home is to help you, when you're in that situation, connect with somebody that's looking for a pet. And the dog or the cat never even has to enter the shelter.
Right.
And so how, I mean, it works via a website.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So describe that process a little bit.
So if, let's say, someone calls the helpline, then, and we ask them the questions and they have time, we would refer them to our Home to Home webpage. They create a very simple pet profile. It's then sent to us and we can give advice, like, you may want to change these words or, you know, lead with the positive. And then we promote it on our Facebook page, which leverages the over 12,000 followers we have. When we launched this, we saw a 33% reduction in our owner surrenders. And then in turn, because it was so successful, decided to put the time and energy into making it a national site so that other shelters could leverage the same kind of success that we have. And what's neat about it compared to, there's other programs out there. Some of them are like dating sites, you know, you're trying to find your animal, the perfect match. And then other ones that are kind of a, what I would call a pass off. So let's say if you're at a shelter and someone calls and they need to surrender, you could say, here, try this website. But with ours is that the shelter's still intimately involved. They have their own branded web page. It really is their program. And those animals are really solely promoted within their community. So they get homes faster.
And is it mostly dogs or dogs and cats?
It's anything that's legal. So we've had Savannah cat. We actually rehomed a horse recently. Iguanas, parakeets, guinea pigs. So it actually expands what we're able to do because we only take dogs and cats in the shelter.
Now, I know you said that this has its own website. Now, if I was searching for a pet, would I check your Panhandle Animal site website for your animals and then the Home to Home site? Or are they interlinked?
No, you'd check them both separately. Okay. And actually now it's really cool because you're in the community and someone will come up and say, oh, I got my cat from the Home to Home site. But because we promote it so much on our Facebook page, that it's not a big deal to be going to the two separate sites. Right. One of the other shelters that has a Home to Home page is in California. And at the bottom of her website, it is a link that says, to see more animals, visit our Home to Home page. So it's been really successful.
Do you have a link like that on your Facebook page to the Home to Home?
Not on the Facebook page, but on our website. We actually have a tab that just dedicated to Home to Home.
And what is that website?
www.pasidahospelledout.org.
Or just Panhandle Animal Shelter website, and you can probably, it will pop up on Google.
Yeah, let's hope.
Or you can go to the Home to Home site directly, and that's home-home.org. And I'm looking at it right now, and there are folks, there's, you know, just looking in our zip code, there's a number of people, and I'm a number of pets, I should say. Jasper, a cat, and Lillian, a cat, Molly, Ann, Orion, and all cats, but then Zoe and Bailey, a Shih Tzu mix?
Yes, yeah. Shih Tzu mix, and both of them, right? Are those the bonded pair? Then their father passed away, and so the family is trying to rehome these dogs. So that has been, when we launched this, my fear was that our community would be, animal welfare is a very passionate business, I guess. And I was scared that people would be angry with us for supporting the surrenderer. But I think that in general, what we tend to do is we tend to lump people into groups. And we lump them into groups and we label them. And so when you look at surrenderers, well, they're obviously all horrible people that aren't appreciating their pets, and they just are, you know, trading them in to get new ones and all of the negative things that you hear. So what this program has done is it has given the surrenderer a voice where people are looking at each individual and they hear the story. They understand about the man passes away. There was another dog on there in May where the man was terminally ill. And the one gift he wanted was to be able to find his dog a new home before he passes. And so you get somebody who's very focused on animal welfare and they love animals and people are just bad because that's why animals need help, is that people are bad. They go on and they read that story and all of a sudden they become his biggest advocate because now, oh, he cares about his pet like I care about my pets. So it's really changed the story and the way we talk about people who surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that mostly people are very good pet owners and these surrenders are mostly due to things like the human dad passed away?
Yeah, I think that people have their own reasons, and whether or not we from an outside believe that they're valid or not is really none of our business, and that we're not living that person's life. And generally speaking, I mean, I have seen people laying on the ground bawling, holding onto their dog, and that they have to let go. And it is completely unfair of us to lump them into the person that's going to be aloof and just does it and, you know, for fun almost. We rarely ever see anyone who does not struggle with the decision to have to surrender.
And they're family members,
they
usually.
Are.
And I think you bring up a good point. People should accept that often a surrender takes place in the best interest of the animal.
Yes.
Because the owner's situation is changing.
Right. And I think that's the other argument is that if you don't, let's say that you're this person that, you know, has a chihuahua because it's in style and then it's not in style anymore and you surrender it, then why shame that person for doing something? Because isn't that the best thing for the dog, is to not be with that family? And so it's just really trying to change the conversation of how we're looking at people in general.
Mm-hmm. And I think you've succeeded quite well in that, and bravo for that, because a no shame policy, as you said, we don't need to know exactly why. The fact that they're trying to find a new home for their pet is enough.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, and even if it's a blasé reason, it's probably still very difficult. So, wow, the animal shelter, good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that number again is 208 for the helpline, 217-4453, and you can get a lot of information and support for working through. I mean, having an animal is not an easy thing all the time. I was thinking when you were talking about reasons people might have to surrender their pet to a new home and find a new home, rent. Trying to find a new place to live, that's probably one of the biggest reasons.
Oh, it is. And it's very sad. We actually had this woman come in with her son. It was last year. And I will do my best not to cry because it was such a horribly sad story. But the woman came in and she's all stoic, like everything's fine. And then she has this son with her and this lab. And the lab kind of keeps leaning into the son and they're looking at each other. Great eye contact. And the mom said, we have to surrender our dog. And I was like, okay, this is not, like, we need to delve into this a little bit more. So the son went behind the front desk and played with the dog. And I talked to the mom and found out that his dad had recently just picked up and left the family. And so then the mom had to get a job, and she had to move from the house they were living in. So a lot of very difficult life changes and decisions. And she could not find a place that would take the dog without a hefty dog deposit or pet deposit. And then I'm thinking, okay, here you've got this child who is a boy. And what does that affect on him that his dad just abandoned him? You know, that's got to be significant. And then his best friend in the world is going to be surrendered to a shelter. Like, okay, no, we're not going to do this. So I offered to make the pet deposit with an agreement that it would be reimbursed back to us and that I'd pay to feed her dog for a year. And it ended up that she didn't need, it was almost like all she needed was someone to believe in her. She never took us up on the pet deposit. We did help feed her dog for a while. I feel like that's the epitome of like what we're trying to do is to help people so that they don't have to make those hard decisions. Because like it or not, that decision and that the boy having to let go of that, that's could be life altering for that child.
What a wonderful story. Ryan, you have a question?
I know when you're helping all these people and being a nonprofit organization, you have to find funds some way. And I know one of your big things is the animal shelter thrift store. And I was just wondering how important that is to the animal shelter and being able to help all these people.
Oh, it's very important. And thank you, the community of Sandpoint, for voting us best thrift store again and first time ever best nonprofit. Just really awesome. The thrift store brings in, a little over half of our budget. It's 85% of our operating revenue that we bring in. So it's a essential part of our foundation and structure and helps us keep going. And the nice thing is that it's consistent. So, you know, with donations, you might have some months that are better than others, and the thrift store helps us survive on a monthly basis. And we just expanded last year, or no, 2 years ago now, and we moved the sorting facility off-site, but that rent for that is costing us $30,000 a year.
Wow.
So we now are building, when you go by, you'll see a big mound of dirt. We're building a sorting facility just west of the thrift store, which means that when you donate to us, you will have a covered area that you will drive through and that there will be people there to accept donations. Since we made the change, it's hard because when you go to donate, you're like, do I put it here? Is there someone to help me? So it'll be a vast improvement than what we have. We still owe $120,000. So we are trying to make up the difference on that.
Well, congratulations on Best Thrift Store and Best Nonprofit.
Hey, who said best? Where'd that come from?
Best of Bonner County.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was just out on Saturday. So what kind of stuff do you have in the thrift store? Somebody wants to go shopping.
We have clothes. Clothes are the number one bestseller, and shoes and DVDs and even VHS tapes. We have...
Retro.
I know, very retro. I actually have a VCR because, 25 cents. I have kids. And then furniture. So we actually have an agreement with a large furniture manufacturer that they have product that might be dinged or slightly not perfect enough for them to send out. And we have wonderful volunteers that drive, I think it's to Portland, and pick up all of this furniture, assemble it, and bring it back. So we have literally brand new furniture that no one would ever look at and say there was something wrong with it available in our thrift store right now. It's awesome.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I know.
At a great price, probably.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can get a ottoman for, I think it's like, I don't know, $45.
When you need that ottoman, there it is.
Yeah,
check it out. You know, the shelter does so much for our community and for our furry friends, we'll say, and we have to say thank you for that. But what does the shelter, the Panhandle Animal Shelter, need from the community? What are your biggest needs?
Well, obviously, money. The money is what keeps us operating and keeps us going. Shopping and donating to the thrift store is an amazing way to support us. We also always put out on Wednesdays, it's Wish List Wednesdays on our Facebook page. By paying attention to that, you will see each week what we need. And sometimes it's cat food or dog food, and bleach, and all sorts of things. So, and you know what? Sharing our posts on Facebook, sharing the information, getting the best thing, I think, is when your community is excited about something you're doing and they take the time to share it with others.
Mm-hmm. I know we have a lot of people who are retired in the community and may not have a lot of financial ways to be able to help the shelter, but how can they donate their time with you guys?
Yeah, we have a volunteer coordinator. Her name is Marsha. Anyone can come in. There are age restrictions that I'm not, I would not able to rattle them off. But there are people that come in and hang out with the cats and then walking dogs. Our volunteer program is a lot more structured than it was before, but big, big, big help is in our thrift store. So anybody that can come in and help us in the thrift store is fantastic. We actually think tomorrow night have a sip and sort where you can go to the sorting facility and you can drink wine and help us sort through the donations.
That helps in the sorting process.
Yes.
I've heard.
Yes, yeah. It's very important. But it's just a way to allow groups of friends to come in and help together in a social environment. And getting those donations sorted and processed is a big, big job.
Mm-hmm. We're going to run out of time in a few minutes here, but there are a topic or two that we'd still like to touch on. So a dog park is a possibility?
Yeah, so the shelter has agreed that the, if you look at the shelter, to the left is an open land in between the coffee hut and our thrift store. So where that berm is right now, by where the dumpster is where the sorting facility will go. That other property next door, we own. So we are willing to dedicate the 26,000 square feet to an off-leash dog park that we feel is necessary in our community. But we cannot afford it. It's not something that we are going to be able to put any of our financial resources into building. Just the fencing alone for the project is $30,000. And then to make it an all-year use park, it would need to have pea gravel. Otherwise, like in our yards, we don't have them, and it becomes a muddy mess that's got holes and becomes a danger, really. It's about a $100,000 project when you put in benches and garbage cans, and we want to have a shaded area and water fountains and bringing all of that over. So it really, truly is going to need to be a community effort. If we want an off-leash dog park, community members really need to help us make that happen.
Do you need somebody to step up and organize a fundraising campaign for this?
Or
if there's anybody out there that has that skill, that they could maybe say, hey, I want to help make the dog park a reality.
Yeah, and even like house parties. Like if you have friends that you know care and you want to hold a little function at your house, we can come in and talk about it and raise money that way. The Pondere Rotary has jumped in and is really trying to make it happen to just improve Pondere. To make it, it'll be part of the Pondere Parks program because the park is right behind the shelter.
Mm-hmm. Hey, another thing you have on site that's kind of new this year, you have great places to eat.
Yeah,
our food trucks.
Yeah. So if you haven't noticed, what we're trying to do in Pondere is give people a reason to come. So you have the thrift store, you can now grab something to eat. In Pondere is primarily fast food, except for Sweet Lou's. And so we're trying, oh, and the other one, farmhouse. So, you know, what about a quick bite? Something you're just trying to get. So we've got Taco Taco out there, Jimmy, who has really consistent, good Mexican food. And then Sandpoint Curry, formerly Curry in a Hurry, is there. And his is actually a commercial kitchen. So people that are looking for a commercial kitchen to rent in the off hours can come and use this kitchen. But change is coming on that front, too. They're actually closed this month because of the festival and some family travel. And we'll start back up again in September. We do have one open spot now for another truck.
Mm, okay. So if there's a food entrepreneur out there,
yeah,
great spot.
And this is very selfish of me. Because now I get to
have... You get to walk across the lot for a great lunch.
Yeah, and have curry. And I have friends that will call me and say, you pick up my curry for me when you come and, you know, bring it into town. I'm the curry delivery
person. Your delivery service, yeah. And the another thing that the animal shelter does that's a ton of fun is Yappy Hour.
Yeah, happy hour.
You just had one, right?
Yeah, at Trinity. Mm-hmm. It was the most profitable one of the season. There is a little underlying competition going on. And the month before that was at Greasy Fingers. It changes every month, April through September. So the next one is going to be at Taylor & Sons in their large lot across the street from the dealership. And they're great. They put all the fencing up for us, and it's a really fun venue for the dogs. It's grass. They get to run and play. And then for people, we will have Laughing Dog Brewery. Their beer will be there. And
that's what makes everybody so yappy.
That's right. And then the last one is always we close our season out at Eichardt's. Behind Eichardt's, there's a strip of grass that we use. It is probably the most rowdy of all of the yappy hours. Mm-hmm. Like, people get taken out at that one. We have to go around and tell people to hang out on the sides because, for whatever reason, the dogs, it's almost like they know winter's coming. So they're like, let's whoop it up.
So the dogs get rowdy too?
Oh, the dogs are the ones that get rowdy. Yeah, okay.
They pick up that energy from the owners, maybe. Yeah.
I think it's a small space, so they just run. And I mean, yeah, there's definitely more people get taken out by dogs at that venue than any other one.
So bring your rowdy self to Eichardt's. That'd be in September.
That's the September one. It's always the last Thursday of the month, 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock. The next one is the end of August, which I think is the 30th, or the 31st, something like that.
We still are in July on our calendar here.
It's Thursday, it's the 30th.
Yeah, we'll be at the Taylor and Sons.
Yeah. And nice that's for everybody. If you have a dog, bring a dog. The dog can have some fun socializing with other dogs. And if you don't have a dog, you still come and have a beer and have some fun, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. It's always fun to have you here. It makes me want to go get a cat, always. I'm working on that. And thank you, Mandy Evans, Executive Director of the Panhandle Animal Shelter, for keeping us updated on all the wonderful projects, programs, and innovations that you have put into place and your crew over there at the Panhandle Animal Shelter. Thanks for coming in. Yeah. And Ryan Baumgartner, thanks for joining us today. And we're going to be helping you. You're going to be putting together an awesome show that will be broadcast here at 88.5 KRFY coming up in September. You're saying yes. Okay, good.
What days is that show going to be?
We're still working on that, but okay. What do you think, Ryan?
We're thinking maybe a Thursday afternoon. I want the buses to be able to play it on their way home the routes, dropping everybody off. So that's the goal.
And name to be announced. The name of this new show.
Yeah, we're still thinking. It's a lot harder than I thought it would be.
Okay.
Ryan's word for the day. No?
Okay.
You just grimaced at that one.
No, you really could try crowdsourcing it. You could throw a few ideas out there and, you know, like on Facebook, or do you use Instagram? What's your platform of choice?
It'd definitely be Instagram. I don't do Facebook. I don't do Snapchat, which is, I'm told, weird for people my age. But that may be the best idea. Yeah, if I don't come up with something, I have family support and everybody's going, you should call it this. And I'm thinking, maybe.
We'll see. Anyways, we'll look forward to that coming up in September when school starts. And I want to say KRFY wants to thank everyone who donated CDs to the KRFY used CD sale this last Saturday during Crazy Days. And we also want to thank everyone who bought them. It was a great success. Okay. Really amazing. And thanks to Jim Healy for organizing it. It was not a yard sale. Mm-hmm. I mean, these CDs were in categories.
Wow.
So I know.
Jim is a very orderly guy.
He really did it. He brought it.
Especially as concerns music. He's right on top of it.
Oh, I know. And he put in about 20,000 new songs because every CD that came through, he checked to see if we had it. And
so that gets added to our library and we can play it over the air in the future.
It filled up. Mm-hmm. Yep. And next, tomorrow on the morning show, Jack Peterson and Carrie Logan will visit with Ruth Klingensmith from the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint about their Youth Summer Orchestra. So that's at 8 again tomorrow at 88.5 KRFY. And next week, our guests will be local artists who will participate in the upcoming Artist Studio Tour. And we're going to go out right now with a song from Amos Lee, who's the Friday night showcased host or artist at the festival at Sandpoint. This is Amos Lee, and the name of the song is New Love. We hope you have a beautiful day.
Yeah, and a beautiful week. Thank you for listening.
Ryan, you want to sign off?
Thank you very much. Hopefully seeing you guys next week.
All right.